The Way to Satin Shore, written by Philippa Pierce and read by Helena Bonham Carter.
Chapter 1. The Beam of Darkness. Here is Kate Tranter coming home from school in the January dusk, the first to come, because she's the youngest of her family. Past the churchyard, past the shops, along the fronts of the tall, narrow terrace houses she goes. Not this one, nor this one, nor this. Stop at the house with no lit window. This is home. Up three steps to the front door and feel for the key on the string in her pocket. Unlock, and then in. Stand just inside the door with the door now closed at her back. Stand so in the hall, ahead to the right the stairs, ahead to the left the passage to the kitchen. In the wider part by the back door, a round, red, friendly eye has seen her, the reflector of her bicycle. To the left of the hall, Granny's room. Kate Tranter took a slow breath. She made herself ready to start across the floor to the stairs, to cross the dark beam that came from her grandmother's room through the gap where her grandmother's door stood ajar. On a weekday at this time, her grandmother's eyes were always turned to that door as she sat in her room by the window. Her eyes looked out through the crack of the door on the watch for whoever came in, whoever went out. Whoever came in must cross her line of vision to go down the passage to the kitchen or to go upstairs. Whoever went out was seen, noted. Sometimes it was true. Granny might sit with her eyes closed. Sometimes, perhaps, she dozed. But as long as the door stood ajar, Granny was there, the watcher. When she went to bed or when she went out walking, the door was shut, only then. Now, she did not call out, "Is that you, Kate?" or even, "Hello?" But then she never called out. Kate took her breath and started off across the beam of darkness to the stairs. She reached the stairs and went up them, up past her mother's room and Randall's room that used to be hers, and then up again to her own attic bedroom opposite Lenny's. Her door too stood well ajar, but that was a good sign. She knew what, or whom, to expect. She pushed the door wide. "Syrup?" and put on the light for a moment for the pleasure of seeing the glow spring up in Syrup's golden fur as he lounged on the bed. He did not open his eyes or make a sound, but he stretched his body a little, twisted a little, until he lay with his soft, pale underbelly fur upwards, and his front legs extended over his head, his eyes still closed, the end of his tongue caught between his teeth. His tail, with its bent end, his only imperfection, lay still. Kate turned the light off again, and waited for her eyes to accustom themselves to the dimness. Then she sat down on the bed beside him and tickled him in the armpits. And he curled his front paws and then uncurled them again. Hard to know how much he liked being tickled, but at least he did not get up and go away from her. She lay down on the bed beside him, to caress him at ease. She tickled him, stroked him, chirruped to him, and purred to him. He began to purr back. "Oh, Syrup," she whispered, "my beautiful, beautiful syrupy puss." Far down below, the front doorbell rang. One of the boys could have forgotten his key. Not Mum, though. Lenny or Ran. Ran so early? Would go on ringing and ringing. After a pause, sure enough, another ring. She and Syrup lay still, waiting. Suppose Granny went to the door and opened it. But she never would. A voice called. It must be through the letterbox. "Kath!" The girl's voice. And only at school was she ever called Kath or Catherine. This was probably Anna, from two streets away. Again, "Kath!" Yes, Anna. It was a long way to go down to open the front door, but on the other hand, she liked Anna, in a way. She would have to leave Syrup to go down, and then what would Anna want? She was a friendly soul. She had a petted cat at home, and she knew the Tranters had one. She'd said she would like to see Syrup. That was nice. So perhaps Kate would go down and open the front door to Anna. Together, they could mount the stairs again to Syrup. But first, they must cross the beam of darkness. "Kathy!" No. She and Syrup lay motionless. The voice did not come again. Kate could imagine the flap of the letterbox falling and the footsteps going away, disappointed. Any caller would think an empty house. A dead house.